Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On January the 23rd, 1974, there were protests at almost every airport in the United States of America. American Airlines was being picketed. And they were being picketed for alleged hiring practices. The picketers claimed that American Airlines had an unwritten policy of hiring just good-looking people as flight attendants. The picketers were all from an organization called Uglies Unlimited, a group of ugly people all around the world dedicated to fighting discrimination against ugly people and promoting the welfare of ugly people wherever they might live. The president of Uglies Unlimited at the time, a young man named Danny McCoy, who, by the way, claimed to be ugly only from the neck up, said that 10% of adult Americans are ugly. Now, I don't want you looking around the room. A claim of the group. But he said the problem is that there is no official formal legal definition of ugly, and therefore it's very easy to discriminate against ugly people. Now, I'm quite certain there are no ugly people in our midst. But I'm also pretty sure that probably most of us have experienced some kind of discrimination, favoritism, prejudice of one kind or another, to one degree or another, one time or another. Maybe it was because of our race, or color, or ethnicity, or gender, or maybe our size, or maybe our abilities, or maybe even our looks or lack thereof. I suppose all of us have experienced that because society is full of that. And unfortunately, so is the church. Our text for today addresses that issue. Our text is the words of St. Peter, recorded in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Peter says, "I finally realize how true it is that God shows no favoritism, but accepts all who believe in him and who do the right thing." People like to talk a lot about equality. And probably nowhere more than in these United States. In fact, our very country was founded on that concept. Right there in the Declaration of Independence, we read these much quoted words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Of course, that was in print. In reality, things were very different. In reality, those words only applied to adult, male, white landholders. Nobody else was considered equal at all. For example, it took over 100 years before African Americans got the right to vote, 130 years before women got the right to vote, 170 years before Asian Americans and Native Americans got the right to vote. As a society, we love to talk the talk, but not always to walk the walk. This past week, we celebrated Dr. Martin Luther King Day, famous for a great many things, but one of them was a speech. Arguably the best-known speech of the 20th century. We know it as the "I've Got a Dream" speech. And that speech was essentially that our society would become blind. Blind to all the outward stuff. Blind to a person's race, color, nationality, ethnicity, gender, all those things we so often obsessed about. We would become completely blind to that, but instead of that, in lieu of that, in place of that, we would be focused on the person's character and integrity and morality. It's my view that we are probably further away from that dream today than 50 years ago when Dr. Martin Luther King expressed it. It seems to me that today we are even more obsessed with color and race and gender and all those other things. You can hardly read an article in the paper without some of that being mentioned. And yet you can read the entire newspaper and never even see the word character or integrity or morality. We love to talk the talk, but not so much walk the walk. There's nothing new about any of this. And there's nothing uniquely American about any of this. In fact, the Roman Empire in which Jesus lived was at least as guilty as our own age, our own place. At least as much filled with prejudice and favoritism and discrimination. And that was true of the religion of Jesus' day too, the Judaism in which Jesus found around him. The entire religion was based on the idea of us versus them. The whole religion was based on the idea of we're kosher and nobody else. Jesus tangled with that. Jesus tangled with the Pharisees as he condemned their own holy little club, as he condemned their whole idea of we're in and you're out. Paul said did the same thing. He encountered and tangled with what he called the circumcision party. This was a group of Christians who nonetheless enjoyed their own little Hebrew club where everyone had to be kosher in order to be Christian, where everyone had to embrace all those Jewish customs and traditions and things before they could become a Christian. Peter was not a member of the circumcision party, but frankly, he thought a lot like them. Peter was grieved by the work that Paul was doing. I mean, Paul was taking the Christian gospel and spreading it to Gentiles, for heaven's sakes. Peter regarded this like casting pearls to the swamp. But God got a hold of Peter. And God changed Peter. So much so that in our text, Peter says, I finally get it. I finally realize God shows no favoritism, but accepts all who believe in him and do the right thing. In other words, God doesn't care about all that outward stuff. God doesn't care about all the things the world is obsessed about. God looks inside. God cares about the faith in your heart and the love in your life. It's easy to apply Peter's statement to the society around us, but that's not his target. Peter is focused on the church. Focused on the kind of favoritism and prejudice and discrimination that happens in the Christian church. As Christians talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk.
and it's still true today. The reality is the most segregated institution in the United States of America is the Christian church. Still struggling with the issue. I've told you before, my mom was Danish, and when she came to this country from Denmark as a war bride, she quickly joined a group called Welcome Wagon. Welcome Wagon existed all across the United States, primarily to help new immigrants from other countries get adjusted to our culture and the way we Americans do things. Mom volunteered her services, and she was quickly assigned to the Millers, Gatta and Eric and their three kids. They were from Denmark. They had been very poor farmers there until they had lost their farm. They immigrated to the United States with just quite literally the clothes on their back, almost no money to their name, knowing hardly a word in English. Mom was assigned to help them. And Mom and Dad and Gatta and Eric became lifelong friends. Well, Gatta and Eric were used to going to church every Sunday. And because they were Danish, therefore they were Lutheran. And they wanted to do that in this country. Well, my mom was Danish too, and therefore she was Lutheran, although she hadn't been to church since she was 5 years old. Nonetheless, she was more than welcome to lead these family into the church. So they found a Lutheran church in town, and the Copelands and the Millers went to the church together. I don't remember this, but I've heard a lot about it. The Copelands were all dressed for the occasion, because that's what you used to do. My dad had on his finest suit. My mom had on her finest dress and hat and gloves and a purse to match. Gloves on her hands. This is what people did back then. But the Millers were farmers, and all they had was farm clothes. It's what they wore to church in Denmark. It's what they wore to church here. Well, we approached the doors. One of the nice ushers escorted the Copelands down to a nice seat near the front, while the other escorted the Millers up to the balcony where they sat all by themselves. It's the last time the Millers ever sat foot inside a church. And frankly, I can't believe it. It's not always that obvious. It's not always that blatant. It's not always, in fact, it's usually not even intentional. Peter needs to dawn on us. I now realize how true it is that God shows no favoritism, but accepts all people who believe in him and do the right thing. It's true because even though we are different, as our second reading for today said, we all have different gifts, we have different abilities, we have different experiences. Some of you can sing, and I tell you, some of you can't. We all come with our unique stuff. The problem is the kind of favoritism and prejudice and discrimination that can result. Because while we are very diverse, we're all his. There's an equality in the midst of that diversity. There's an equality under the law because, you see, we're all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I realize there are a lot of Christians who think that applies to everyone but themselves, but believe me, it applies to everyone. Under the law, we're all sinners, and yes, there's always room for one more.
and under the gospel, we're all through Christ saved. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but has everlasting life." The Bible says this is love. Not that God loved us, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of us all. In Christ, we are loved. In Christ, we are saved. We are equal too in that we are all sons and daughters of God through Jesus. One family, incredibly diverse. There are tall Christians and short Christians. There are fat Christians and skinny Christians. There are white Christians and black Christians. There are Christians who speak English and Christians who speak languages we can't even identify. There are male Christians, there are female Christians, there are Christians who aren't even quite sure what they are, but we are family. Family. John wrote, "How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God, because through Christ that's exactly what we are." St. Paul wrote, "Christ redeemed us so that we might receive the adoption as God's children." And the same Peter who wrote our text said, "Once we were no people, but through Christ we are all God's people." God caused Peter to make a profound realization. I now realize how true it is that God shows no favor, but accepts all people who believe in him and do the right thing. May we, individually, collectively, not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God bless our lives and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.